Hello everyone, my name is Jay and welcome to what is going to be a new weekly series here of the NXT taping reviews. This is going to be the very first episode that I've ever put out there. So thank you very much for clicking on this video, giving it a chance. I've been doing this kind of thing for a little while, mainly in sort of written reviews, if I'm honest. And I've done a couple of YouTube videos before talking about wrestling. Not something I've ever really put out there to friends and family, though, if I'm honest with you. So if you've clicked on this video via the link that I put out on my Facebook page, then first of all, thank you. I really appreciate that. Any sort of feedback would be great. I'll definitely take anything into consideration, especially if you've clicked on this video and you're not a wrestling fan, because that means a lot to me that you would even give this a try. You've probably just done that because, like, say you're a friend of mine, and that means a lot. If you are a wrestling fan and you have some comments that you want to make and we can get into a discussion about anything wrestling related, I will talk about wrestling all day long. One of the reasons I've started doing this thing really is because my partner's getting fed up with me talking about wrestling to her. So I figured I may as well have a platform to put out my thoughts and opinions and my take on the world of professional wrestling, in the hope that I can engage with some people and get into discussion about wrestling, because it's been a big part of my life. I've given you a brief sort of background of my wrestling sort of fandom, I suppose. I started watching wrestling as a kid, usually on a Saturday afternoons with World of Sport Wrestling. It was my auntie and my nana, both who are no longer with us, got me into wrestling, to be honest. When I was a little kid, we used to sit and watch that. And they were, whether they were doing it for me or whether they genuinely believed it, they always put it across that it was real. Obviously, as I got older, I realized that although the risks and all that kind of stuff and everything they do is real, there is obviously a scripted nature to everything, and it is a form of entertainment. But it is something that has stuck with me all the way through my life. I've had momentary breaks from it, I suppose, but I've always came back. And so the last maybe it's 4 or 5, maybe even 6 years, I've been pretty constant with watching everything. One of the big things that got me back into wrestling in a more permanent role, I suppose, was the introduction of NXT, which is another reason why I wanted to do my weekly reviews on NXT. Now, a lot of people out there do reviews of the main show, do reviews of NXT, do reviews of everything. And there's a lot of podcasts out there that have given me inspiration to pursue this kind of, I won't say career path because it's not a career path, hobby, I suppose, is what I'm going to say. So the few podcasts out there, there's a couple that I am a patron subscriber to, and I really appreciate other people having that platform to give people like me inspiration and motivation, I suppose, to make up my own channel and my own opinions and things like that. And hopefully it's going to be something that I can continue doing each week, and hopefully something I'm going to enjoy doing, and more importantly, hopefully it's something that people enjoy listening to. So that's kind of how I got into wrestling. As I got older, we watched a lot more of WWE or WWF as it was back in the day, and I was always a huge fan of the likes of Stone Cold, The Rock, pretty much everyone was into those guys. But my favourite wrestler of all time has to be Eddie Guerrero, without a doubt. And recently this week, it was the anniversary of his passing. I think it's been, 13 years now since he passed away. And he's still missed by me every day. I often go back and watch some of his matches. If you've never watched any Eddie Guerrero stuff, then you're missing out, because the dude was absolutely amazing. So anyway, that's kind of how I got into wrestling and my favorite wrestlers. As I say, NXT was one of the reasons I came back to watching wrestling regularly. So we're going to kick this episode off with a review of last night's NXT, which was the 14th of November episode, the 14th of November taping, basically the go-home show for NXT War Games, which is this Saturday coming. If you're unfamiliar what I mean by the term go-home show, it's essentially the finale in the build-up to the big blow-off, I suppose, and kind of like the culmination of all the stories coming together that have been told, ready for the finale for the weekend. And there's quite a few matches on here this time round that, the NXT always delivers, if I'm honest with you. Every show they do, takeover-wise, It's fantastic. You can often go back and say this takeover was better than the last one, and then this one's better than the last one. And they always constantly seem to hit it out of the park. And this one, I believe, is going to be no different. Got quite a few good matches coming up. In the build-up to that, though, like I say, we've got this final episode of NXT. We will touch on how this affects War Games at the weekend. But to start things off, we started the match, the show, rather, with the very first match, which is Bianca Belair, the EST of NXT. Such a bright future. She is athletically gifted. She has such charisma, strength. She has everything. She's not been doing it very long, from what I can tell. As far as I'm aware, she has sort of a, maybe it's a track and field background, I think, and a transition to wrestling. I know that the gentleman she married recently is part of the Street Profits, so she has a connection in that way as well. But she is fantastically talented and is quickly making a name for herself in NXT. And her opponent this week was Mia Yim, who's recently just joined NXT. I've been following her on the independent scene for quite a while, to be honest, including a stint in TNA. She was great there. I've really enjoyed watching her work, and it's great to see her get this platform too, because by the sounds of things, I've read up a bit on her, sort of, not just her career, her life, and she's been through the mill and had some rough times in her life. It's nice to see when people can turn that around and make a success for themselves. I wish her nothing for the best. And you can tell in this match that, you know, she's been doing this for a while. Bianca Belair is undefeated in NXT. She's considers herself the cream of the crop, I suppose. No one's better than her. She's very arrogant, very cocky, but she can back it up. And she definitely does that in this match. So match starts off with Bianca Belair, like I say, being really cocky, arrogant, trying to get in sort of Mia Yim's face. Mia Yim quickly kind of establishes herself in the match, hits a good few running drop kicks, keeping the pressure on Belair to start the match off before Belair has to toss her out of the ring, basically, to give herself a bit of a break. Now, if you've never seen a Bianca Belair match, she doesn't really do it in this match. She only does it briefly, but she has really long hair in like a braid, and by really long, I mean it goes past her butt, and she uses it as a whip, which I found fascinating the first time I saw it. I thought that was really, really clever. And she usually puts some sort of like beads or something on it, so when she whips, it makes a hell of a noise. And it's really interesting. It's a really unique thing I've never seen before. I don't know if it's been done before, but I've personally never seen it. And she does it very briefly in this match, and she kind of whips her as she gets back in the ring with her hair. And sometimes if you go back and watch any of her matches where she's used that, sometimes the noise that she gets from it, the crowd gasp, and it is brilliant. And honestly, like I say, she's got such a presence about her, the way she carries herself. She's definitely a one for the future, and I can see her getting a championship match pretty soon. Like I say, she's undefeated. She's talented in the ring. She has pretty much everything you could want, and the crowd love her as well. Even though she is a heel, she does have the crowd in her corner a lot of the time. So anyway, getting back to this match, like say, there's the whip with the hair. Mia Yim eventually tries to roll her up for the win, but Bianca Belair is constantly overpowering her, using dirty tactics to kind of, you know, get the better of her. She's showing no respect, shouting in her face, "You were nothing," all this kind of stuff. Sits on her back, and as she's pulling Mia Yim's hair, she gets like Mia Yim's hair in her hands and fingers and stuff. So she's sat there on her back trying to pull the hair out of her fingers. You know, really sort of cocky, arrogant stuff, and it's great. The crowd kind of go back and forth on sort of chanting for her. We get chants of "Let's go, Mia," and then EST. You know, eventually Mia gets the upper hand with some strikes and cannonball into the corner. She gets back up, and just before she's about to go for what looks like her finisher, Bianca Belair hits her with a vicious looking forearm and then counters her with like, I think her finisher is called the KOD. It's kind of like a torture rack, and then slams you like to the floor kind of thing. It's pretty cool looking move. And that's how she gets the win. It was quite a fun match. And yeah, Mia Yim, it's great to see her in NXT. Bianca Belair definitely got a huge future. Up next, we were backstage. There was an interview with the War Raiders, Ricochet and Pete Dunne, who were basically trying to decide who's going to compete in the singles match tonight to get the advantage for War Games, which is the big pay-per-view on Sunday. Those guys are in the War Games match. essentially, if you're not sure what a War Games match is, the match starts one-on-one, and then every few minutes another competitor is introduced. And the idea of this match tonight is to decide whose team is going to get the advantage. So, for example, whoever wins, for the next few minutes, it'll be two-on-one in advantage of their team. So we have backstage Ricochet saying he wants to be in the match, and then Pete Dunne chimes in. He's like, no, it should be me. I'm the guy who should be in the match. And they're going back and forth before Raw from War Machine, he chimes in, basically tells them to shut up. And then Big Hansen just kind of says, no, I'm the one in the match, and that's what's happening. And they all kind of just call, fair enough, not going to mess with you. You're a big dude. So Hansen is announced for the singles match later on tonight. Following that, we get a quick video package recapping the Aleister Black and Johnny Gargano feud. We're going to get the culmination of that feud this Saturday at War Games 2. Now, this has been a fascinating story. I could go on and on and on about how brilliant the whole Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa stuff was, and maybe I will in a future video. But basically, Johnny Gargano has been, he's kind of like the ultimate good guy, I suppose. And over the summer, there was an injury to Aleister Black, I believe while he was on, maybe he's on the house show circuit, which they then kind of realised, you know, he's going to, I think he ended up getting surgery or at least needed some time off. And they needed to do some sort of storyline with that. So what they decided to do was Aleister Black would be attacked by this mystery attacker. And it was kind of like the summer-long thing of who attacked Aleister Black. It kind of harkened back to the whole who ran over Stone Cold Steve Austin back in the early days. And all the way through this feud, they were asking William Regal, the general manager of NXT, was going back and forward, interviewing people, I suppose, trying to find out who was the attacker before it all came to a head, and it realized that it was Johnny Gargano, the so-called good guy of NXT, was the one who attacked him. So it was kind of like a heel turn there for Gargano, which is understandable. Like I say, when you go back through all of his story with Tommaso Ciampa so far, and his character development because of that, and how he's had to kind of go to this depth, and how Ciampa essentially has turned him into this guy, it's fascinating stuff, and it's going to be great to see how that eventually all comes to a head. I've really, personally, really enjoyed that story, and it's brilliant. I've got a lot of time for Aleister Black and Gargano. They're both fantastic wrestlers, and this match will be brilliant. But going back through this feud, one interesting part of the feud for me was how they used Nikki Cross. Now, Nikki Cross is a fantastic wrestler. I really love Nikki Cross. She's part of Sanity. Sanity got called up to SmackDown. She never went. Initially, people were like, oh my God, why is Nikki Cross gone? Since realized that Sanity have barely been used on the main roster, so it's kind of been a blessing in disguise that Nikki Cross got kept behind. But she's always had this persona of she's a bit crazy, shall we say. Not quite all there, I suppose. I don't know how a nice way to put it. She's a bit deranged, I guess. And anyway, all the way through this, in the build-up to the reveal of who it was, she's saying she knows who it was who attacked Aleister Black. And she's getting in the face of Tommaso Ciampa, Velveteen Dream, a few others, interrupting all these segments, saying she knows. Anyway, eventually, Aleister Black returns from injury. He's laid out a few people, and they're in the ring. And she comes into the ring, and he's saying, tell me who did it. She goes over and tells him. He gets all angry, and it's really great. Until a week later or so, it might be in the week later, I can't remember exactly, there's a match going on. Nikki Cross comes into the ring, and then she's like, he's here, he's here. And then it cuts backstage. Aleister Black is laying out absolutely everybody. Some poor security guy or whatever walks through the door, whack, straight in the face. He's down. Next guy down as well. And he's making his way to the ring, and he gets hold of Regal, and he's like, where is he? Where is he? And then out of nowhere, Johnny Gargano hits him with a kick, lays him out, gets on the mic and says, I'm right here. Puts his hood back up and leaves, thus telling us that it was Gargano who attacked him. Ever since then, like say, he's been kind of saying that he's the good guy in this situation. And, you know, Aleister Black kind of got in the way. Now, there's a great line from Nigel McGuinness on commentary. And he always does this. Him, it wasn't Mauro this week. I think it was Vic Joseph, but I do like him. And Percy Watson, I always forget that guy's name, but he's grown so much as a commentator. They always have good chemistry. And Nigel McGuinness comes out with a fantastic line in the video package, and he says, Gargano must face torment when he stands face to face with the devil himself. And I thought that was a fantastic line, and I'm really looking forward to this match. I'll have my predictions for this card up later. Maybe later today, tomorrow, depends on if I've got a chance. And then we'll go from there with regard to that one. But that is definitely a contender for match of the night, without a doubt. Up next, we had an interview with Matt Riddle, who's recently made his debut in NXT. Matt Riddle, the King of Bros, such a cool dude. He just oozes charisma. He is definitely going to be a big star going forward. He's getting interviewed. He's getting asked about his debut, which he refers to as his debut. It sounds stupid, but by him, it sounds fantastic. It's hilarious. He gets interrupted by Cassius Ohno, who's kind of like, you know, I challenge you to this match, blah, 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 you haven't accepted. So then Matt Riddle goes, all right, then I'll accept next week. I'll beat you next week, basically. Sounds like that match is going to get taped at the weekend at War Games, so that we'll get to watch that match next week. For me, Matt Riddle absolutely wins that match. There's no doubt about it. So up next, we had the reveal that Hansen will be facing Kyle O'Reilly later tonight, and that's the one for who gets the advantage in the War Games match. So now we know who that match is going to be. Closely followed by a next match featuring the Lady of NXT, Lacey Evans. I'm a huge Lacey Evans fan. Her character work is entertaining. I love the fact that even little things like her husband and her daughter are always seemingly at ringside. And even though she's a bad guy, she goes up to them and she gives her daughter a hat and stuff. And it's really nice touches. And she's facing Carissa Rivera this week, who, as far as I'm aware, I'm not too familiar with her. I think her father was a wrestler. I think she's been doing this a little while. But essentially, this was what's known as a squash match, I suppose, just to give Lacey Evans someone to beat up, I suppose. So she does. Lacey Evans, like, her character, if you've not seen it, she comes across like, she's so arrogant, but she's very elegant, and she thinks like everyone should behave like her, and you know, she's the ultimate lady and all this stuff. Little things she does, like when she gets in the ring, she takes her gloves off and she throws them on the floor and then demands some poor ringside guy has to pick them up. Things like that. She just belittles everyone, and it's fun to watch. She is described as the epitome of elegance once again by Nigel McGuinness, another great line from him. So basically, this match gets started, and she takes down Rivera, and as she's down on the floor, she starts doing push-ups over her body, just really belittling her. And then eventually Rivera gets back up, hits her with a couple of chops, and then a dropkick, goes for a cover, but only gets a one count. Now, that really seemed to piss off Lacey Evans, so she gets back up, she's slamming her head to the ground, picks her up, and then just hits her with the woman's right, which is a big punch, basically, for the win. Very quick match. Another one who you could say could be a contender for the Women's Championship. I would be interested in seeing the winner of Kairi Sane and Shayna Baszler against either Bianca Belair or Lacey Evans. Either would be fun. So after the match, she picks up their mic. She says that NXT is full of a bunch of classless nasties, as she says, and says the girls don't carry themselves with any sophistication, and says that she will lead by example. And basically, if they don't adhere to her standards, she will teach them manners with the woman's right. Like, say, Lacey Evans, another one with a bright future. Up next, we have a video package for the Tommaso Ciampa versus the Velveteen Dream championship match for War Games. It goes back and forth over the fact that Tommaso Ciampa is absolutely obsessed with the championship. He talks to it. It's like, it really means the world to him. And I personally have missed that in some characters. I mean, you see on the main roster, and even in NXT, if I'm honest, it's kind of just a thing now where the championship gets kind of passed around between people, and you don't really see anyone who kind of like cherishes it in that respect. What I mean is, if you go back to the days when Triple H was a heel, for example, and he was vicious, but everything he did was to keep hold of the championship. Like, the championship was the world to him. And I think that's a really good way of putting a belt over. And it's definitely interesting to see where this goes. But Ciampa looks at the belt like it's the best thing ever. He carries it and he wears it with pride, basically. Even though he's a bad guy, he's a real, really, really good bad guy. There's not a better heel in the company than him right now, if I'm honest, the closest was what they could have done with potentially with Dean Ambrose. Still not sure where that's going to go. Kind of gone a little off the boil for me, if I'm honest. But there's no one as good as Tommaso Ciampa as a heel, especially in NXT, because the way the crowd reacts to things in NXT is, to be honest, a lot more engaging than the main roster sometimes. And like say, he's holding that championship like it means the world to him. If you've never seen Velveteen Dream before, then how do you describe Velveteen Dream? He just oozes charisma. He is fantastic to watch in the ring. His character work is brilliant. He's unique. There's absolutely everything about him is fascinating to watch. And he's only young as well. I think he's in his early 20s. So for a wrestler, that's really young. He's got a lot of time to even get even better. Every time you see him, you can't take your eyes off him. The likes of Cena and people like that have touted him as the future of the company. And I couldn't agree more. He is absolutely brilliant. Love watching his matches. Love watching his interactions with anybody. One of my favourite matches of last year was him against Aleister Black. Just their feud was so simple. And all it was basically Aleister Black against Velveteen Dream. And Dream just wanted him to say his name. And that's all it was. It was so simple. But if you go back and watch it, it's brilliant. And it's one of the matches of the year, in my opinion. Cannot wait for this match. Like say, it's going to be a great match this time around. Curious to see what Velveteen Dream's outfit is that he wears. He always makes some sort of a statement with his ring gear. Last time he was dressed as, the last time he had "Call Me Up Vince" written on his pants, a reference to Vince McMahon saying "I'm ready for main roster." Basically, the time before he kind of looked like he was dressed like Hulk Hogan. All this kind of stuff. You've got to watch him if you've never seen him. He is brilliant, and I can't wait for that match. Following that one, we had a video package for Shayna Baszler versus Kairi Sane. This match is going to be a 2 out of 3 falls match. It's kind of the culmination of their feud. Recently, Kairi Sane dropped the title to Shayna Baszler at the first ever women's pay-per-view Evolution. But we're not without controversy. We had Jessamyn Duke and Marina Shafir get involved, which essentially cost Kairi the match. That was good to see how they're going to start bringing those in. Obviously, if you don't know, those two ladies, as well as Shayna, are part of the Four Horsewomen of MMA, which is also comprised of Ronda Rousey. WWE has their own version of the Four Horsewomen. Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair, Bayley, and Sasha Banks. Eventually, we're heading to some sort of feud with those. So it's cool to see that Marina Shafir and Jessamyn Duke are starting to get more involved in NXT. And curious to see where that goes. One thing as well that I've really come to appreciate with Kairi Sane is her English isn't the best. I mean, she can speak English. It's not great, but it's not her native language, so you can forgive her for that. And her character at times can come off very cartoonish. She's like a pirate kind of thing. She's obsessed with like treasure and things. And it sounds silly, but it works in this aspect because in her promo she comes across saying that she's lost her treasure. Her treasure being the NXT Women's Championship, and she needs it back. And as silly as it sounds, it works for her in this environment and this particular area. Now, the other thing about Kairi Sane is to look at her, she looks like the sweetest, most innocent person ever. She looks like basically, just a nice person. I'm sure she is, but she can also turn it on in the ring when she needs to be. She can get vicious. And I really can't wait to see this match because she's got a temper when she gets going. So this is going to be a great match. Shayna Baszler, for me, is all the money in the world. She is fantastic. If you've never watched her before, go out of your way to watch her. Everything she does, her character work, the way she carries herself, she's brilliant. And I can't wait for this match as well. Finally, we get to our main event for the show, which is Hanson from War Machine taking on Kyle O'Reilly from the Undisputed Era. I love watching Kyle O'Reilly matches. In my opinion, Kyle O'Reilly is the gift that keeps on giving. He is fantastic. He's fascinating to watch. He's comedy as well. Like, it always seems like the way he sells things. It's funny. There's loads of videos. I suggest you go out on YouTube and watch them. Of just the way he sells sometimes. And it's fascinating to watch. I really love him. Hanson's introduced first. Good reaction from the crowd. Everyone kind of loves the War Raiders. Winner of this match, as I've said previously, does get the advantage in the War Games match. Next, we get Kyle O'Reilly coming out with his NXT Tag Team Championship, playing it as a guitar like he always does. The Undisputed Era's theme music these days pretty much every show kind of get, it's kind of like that Pavlovian feeling where you hear it and you kind of have to cheer. It kind of reminds me of the NWO back in the day with their theme. Whenever their theme came on, everyone always popped. And that's how these guys get as well, especially when you get takeover shows, especially when Adam Cole is there, the leader of the Undisputed Era. At first, when I heard this theme the first time around, I was like, I'm not a big fan of it. And then it grows on you to the point where you're like, yeah, it's perfect. And Kyle O'Reilly is fascinating to watch. So this match was the classic bigger guy in Hansen versus the smaller, quicker guy in Kyle O'Reilly. Through the match, O'Reilly's trying to chop him down, which is easier said than done. Hansen, as a big dude, is still athletic as well. He's brilliant to watch. I've never really seen much of him in singles competition, if I'm honest. It's usually the tag team. On the independent scene when they were known as War Machine, they were great in New Japan, that kind of stuff. So this was one of the first times I've seen him in singles competition. But yeah, it was great. There's times when, like say, O'Reilly's trying to chop him down, but Hansen's basically swatting him off and he short tackles him to the floor, sends him outside the ring. O'Reilly comes back in. He does this really cool thing I've seen him do a few times because he has an MMA background. He essentially gets in the ring and he lays down on his back, inviting Hansen to come and attack him, in the hope that he can get him in some sort of submission hold or some sort of grapple and play to his strengths, because you can be as big and tall as you like, but as they always say, when you're on the ground, we're all the same size. And Hansen obviously doesn't go free, he just starts kicking the crap out of him, basically. Overpowering him all the time with his size and strength. Now, as I've said before, O'Reilly, the way he sells, what I mean by selling, if you're unfamiliar with wrestling, is kind of putting your opponent over, making everything look legit, making them look as tough as you can, I suppose. O'Reilly does that, but he also does it in a way where there's times, I think it was the last takeover or the one before, he does this thing where he gets hit loads and he stands up and he's like, come on, but then he just falls over because he just can't stand up. It's brilliant. But stuff like he just falls to the floor and like rolls out of the ring. Brilliant. Anyway, match continues. Eventually O'Reilly starts getting the upper hand with, so he starts kicking the legs out from under Hansen, working on his knees, trying to take the big guy down. When he's down, he's hitting with some open palm strikes, trying to keep him down. He's working Hansen's knee, trying to keep him on the ground. Eventually, he's gets the upper hand of that, and he starts getting him in all these sort of knee submission holds. He's hits him with a dragon screw leg whip, and it looked pretty nasty. I mean, it's you know, he's a great wrestler, I'm sure, it's perfectly safe, but it looks nasty, and it was fun to watch. Hansen, trying to find his way back into it eventually. He's in a submission hold. He just kicks O'Reilly in the face. And that's essentially how he breaks it up. And it's really good. Now, he does this big back body drop and eventually knocks him out of the ring. And it gets to a point where, as I say, Hansen's a big dude, but he is athletic. And I've never really watched a lot of their matches, but I knew he's a big guy, and he does this thing where he knocks him out of the ring and then he suicide dives through the ropes to attack him. It's really impressive agility from the big dude. And like I say, it's really fun. Now, this is when the match starts getting all a bit crazy. So at this point, he's going for the win, and then Adam Cole shows up on the ramp trying to cause a distraction. Doesn't really work fully because Hansen does go for the moonsault, but like, it gives O'Reilly just enough time to roll out of the way. Goes for the pin, followed up by submission, but Hansen makes it to the ropes. When the ref's distracted, Adam Cole hits Hansen, and O'Reilly goes for the pin again, but he manages to kick out. At this point, Hansen's tag team partner Raw shows up and takes out Adam Cole, kind of evening the odds for a moment before Roderick Strong and Bobby Fish come out to take out Raw. Pete Dunne shows up to make the save, and an Undisputed Era back on top. There's four of them against three. And then absolutely out of nowhere, Ricochet comes diving from the ring over the top rope and takes out everybody. And Ricochet is one of those guys, until I've always heard of him, and I always kind of, to be honest, shied away from some of his matches because sometimes I'm not a big fan of the whole all the flip stuff. But when you watch him, he is so much more than that. And I will openly admit that I've been wrong in my opinion of him in the past. Watch any of his matches and he is fascinating to watch. He's like Spider-Man, basically. He's brilliant. So anyway, he flies over, takes out everybody. Now, with everyone distracted, O'Reilly manages to hit Hansen with the title belt and pins him, thus giving the Undisputed Era the advantage heading into War Games. It was a fun match, overbooked as hell, but these kind of things are always fun to watch. Except previously, I mentioned it before, O'Reilly matches, I can watch them all day long. He's so entertaining. And Undisputed Era stand tall heading into War Games. And that's pretty much how we ended The show, we've got War Games coming up this Saturday. Really looking forward to that. I'll have my predictions up for that at some point later this week, maybe even later today if I get a chance to record them. As I say, this is the first time I've ever put this out really to friends and family, and obviously this is something I'm still learning, so there'll be times when I'll probably talk too fast, there'll be times when I have big pauses, times where I sound like I'm out of breath. It'll get better with time, I hope. I hope you've enjoyed listening to this. As always, leave any feedback in the comments. You can catch me on Facebook or on Twitter at Jay Balderson, all those things. And until then, I'll bring out a new video pretty soon. I appreciate you listening. Thanks very much. I'll see you next time. Bye.